It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Rachel Erickson here talking to you today from live from the KSRO studio. If you have questions and want some free legal advice, feel free to give me a call down here at the station at 636-1350. You're going to be putting up with me alone today. Charlie's not in today, but I'm here to answer your questions if you have them and to talk to you as we always do. We pick out a legal topic, and today I'm going to be talking about animal law. And I specifically wanted to talk a little bit about the use of Well, I'm going to cover a couple of different topics. One of the things I want to talk about is service dogs and emotional support dogs. And I also want to talk about animal cruelty laws, which is an area of criminal law, actually. And I know we don't do criminal law subjects very often, but I've been noticing more and more over the years that there are animals everywhere. Now, I personally don't have a problem with most of that. I think it's great that we're allowing service dogs and emotional support dogs. I think that's fantastic, and it seems to be really helpful for a lot of people. I do however have a little bit of a problem with animals in my food space, and I you know, that's just me. I don't really like them in my grocery stores and in my restaurants so much. But I do understand that a lot of people are really, really happy about that. And we're seeing it everywhere. So I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about what laws actually apply to animals and how to go about dealing with these issues of animals. So first of all, There are, everybody's aware, at least I think we're all aware, that there are service dogs out there. And you see them, they have their little vests that identify them as service dogs. And now we're seeing more and more what are called emotional support animals. Now, I'm going to be talking about dogs because dogs are the only animals by law that are allowed to be service animals. Apparently, by federal law under the Americans with Disabilities Act, miniature horses can also be service animals. So in California, we have adopted that. So you can have a miniature horse, apparently. Personally, I've never seen it, but it would be absolutely adorable, I think. So if you see that, it is allowed in California. So what we're going to be talking about is mostly federal law. The Federal Employment and Housing Act is a big one, and the UNRRA Civil Rights Act, the California Disabled Persons Act, Fair Employment and Housing Act, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. Those are the laws that are going to govern this area. So what we're trying to do, I feel confident in our society, what we are trying to do is raise awareness of disabilities and provide the support that disabled people actually need. And I think that we're making a lot of progress in that area. I know the ADA was enacted. That's probably the most recently enacted federal law that covers this, and California has adopted the same rules as a state. So let's talk a little bit about what that is. Now, to have an actual service dog, the service dog is actually trained. They're trained to help with a specific necessity, a specific disability. For example, service dogs are trained to pull wheelchairs, for example, or pick up dropped items for somebody who can't bend over, bark if there's somebody nearby for somebody who can't see, help a person who can't hear, all those different things. And they're actually specifically trained to do that particular service. And those service dogs are allowed pretty much anywhere. In California, they are allowed anywhere where the general public can be. And that includes restaurants, hotels, theaters, stores, shops, concert halls, and government buildings. So pretty much anywhere where the public can go, a service dog can go to. They can go to medical facilities, doctor's offices, hospitals, clinics. They can also travel, just like a person could on any mode of public transport. They can go on airplanes. They can go in cars, trains, buses, boats, all those kinds of things. Service dogs are allowed anywhere that the public can go. So when you see them, just be aware that they are a service dog and they are specifically trained to be so. Now, when we're talking about these service dogs, there become a couple of questions. For example, when we're not talking as much about, let's talk about, can a landlord deny a disabled person their service animal in the premises that the landlord owns? And the answer is no. If you're going to take on the disabled person, you have to take on their pet as well. And no, you cannot charge an extra security deposit. You have to treat this person as if they were anybody else. Now, what I think is interesting is the laws sometimes go a little, you know, bend over a little backward to accommodate people. And you see this in many areas of the law. So the law actually says that you can't charge a disabled person a security deposit because of their pet. Well, it's not a pet, it's a service animal. Forgive me for saying that. I didn't mean that. It's a service animal. Even if you require others to pay a security deposit for their pet, you cannot charge that to a disabled person. So landlords, be aware. You cannot discriminate and you cannot charge a security deposit for a service animal. And those are some really important differences. Now, if the manager of a store or maybe the conductor of a train or whatever, if they are not sure that it's a service dog and they want to make sure that it is, they can only ask two questions and that's it. They can ask whether the dog is required because of a disability and what work the dog is trained to perform. They can't ask what the disability is. HIPAA laws, our privacy is, you know, sacrosanct in this area. You can't be asking people about their disabilities. And they can't require the person to prove that the animal is a service dog. Service dogs don't have to be registered or certified, but actually, you don't have to prove it. But if you're pretending that your animal is a service dog and you're dog is not a service dog, that is actually a misdemeanor. So I don't know how you would get caught, but if you get caught, it's a misdemeanor and you can get fined up to $1,000 and up to 6 months imprisonment. I would find it hard to believe that they'd actually imprison you for that. But I mean, thinking about that, that doesn't make much sense. Now, so the service dogs are quite protected, and as they are necessary, they are allowed to support their disabled owners. So now when we talk about service dogs, we're usually talking about a psychiatric service dog. And they're trained to help a person with mental disabilities usually something like bipolar disorder. Like, for example, some of them are trained to wake people up who have clinical depression. So get them up, get them out, get them around, try to get them out of bed at a certain period of time in the morning. Responding to an owner's panic attack, for example, comforting the person when they start going into panic mode. And then sometimes trying to change their person's behavior who is kind of exercising poor judgment. The dog can go and try to alert them that their behavior is less than the best judgment. So These dogs are not necessarily trained to perform specific acts directly related to the disability. Instead, the owner is getting a sense of well-being. They're getting a sense of comfort. They're getting calmed down, or they're feeling safe. And that's what this dog provides for them. And it's more of a companionship thing than a service thing. So the definitions are, is this dog performing a specific service, or is it there for the comfort and safety and calm of the owner? Now, emotional support animals also can have access to public places, the same as service dogs are for the most part. So the bottom line with this area of the law is that it's a very broad acceptance of service animals and emotional support animals. And we've seen, and then to do the devil's advocate on the other side, is you see some difficulties with them too. And for the most part, I think it's a wonderful thing. But every once in a while, you do see on the other side. For example, last summer, there was an airplane that had to be diverted and land in Chicago when it was supposed to be going to New York because a service dog needed to go potty and went potty on the plane. And so some of the passengers were becoming ill and throwing up and stuff like that, and it became kind of an issue, so they had to divert the plane. So every once in a while, you're going to see something like that. One of the things I do find is interesting about this, like I said earlier, is that it really is limited mostly to dogs. We don't in this country have support monkeys, for example, whereas other countries do. They do allow other animals, specifically monkeys are a big one in some countries, but not here. So we're talking about animal law today, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about emotional support animals, and we'll talk a little bit about criminal law relating to animals. And if you have any questions about this topic or any other, feel free to give me a call and I'll answer your questions for free on the radio. Or if you don't want to be on the radio, you can submit your question and I'll just answer it on the air. So call me down here at the studio at 636-1350.
I'm Stephen Curry.
Kevin Durant.
I'm Clay Thompson, and you're listening to KSRO
1350 and FM 103.5.
Playoff headquarters of Dub Nation.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson at Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson, and Harbison, with offices here in Santa Rosa and in San Francisco. You know us as your car accident and insurance claims attorneys, and now I am accepting family law cases. You can give me a call at the office at 707-544-9006 for all your divorce, custody, and spousal support needs. Give us a call.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com.
The Home Depot and Black Flag are taking the guesswork out of yard care with Black Flag Extreme Lawn Insect Killer Plus Fungus Control, starting at only $11.97. Kill what's killing your lawn with this dual-action formula that kills lawn insects and kills and prevents fungus. If you're not sure what's causing problems in your yard, don't raise the white flag. Go with Black Flag Extreme Lawn Insect Killer Plus Fungus Control, starting at only $11.97, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
It's 3 p.m. School's out for America's kids. And when school's out, clubs are in. It's time to support the Boys and Girls Clubs. Visit greatfutures.org.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Rachel Erickson here talking about animal laws today. And I wanted to go back just briefly. We were talking about service dogs and how they're widely accepted in any public place and sometimes required to be accepted in private places as well. And I also wanted to, I was talking about the psychiatric animals and got a little sidetracked, but psychiatric support animals, like I was saying before, are there to calm and make feel safe their owner who has a psychiatric disability, perhaps severe anxiety disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder is a big one. So when an owner has a post-traumatic stress disorder, and they, what happens sometimes in post-traumatic stress disorder is there can be a trigger. For example, if it's severe, say that there's a car outside that backfires and it's a really loud bang, then a psychiatric support animal can be there when the person suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder reacts and has that panic reaction, which can include increased breathing, crying spells sometimes, anger outbursts. I mean, there's any number of different ways that people react with post-traumatic stress disorder. And the psychiatric support animal can come and comfort them, make them feel safe, calm them down, and hopefully bring them out of that reactionary mode so that they can calm themselves and return to normal functioning. Now, the laws on these are changing, especially with the psychiatric support animals. They are not as widely accepted in public places as service dogs. So if you really, really, really need to have this dog with you, you should consider actually getting a trained service dog that is trained to take care of whatever your disability is. And as I said, the psychiatric support animals are not necessarily trained for a specific function. They're there more just to calm you down in the event of some reaction that you have to a stimuli or a situation. Sometimes it's social anxiety, or sometimes it's just different things that come up. So California law is more forgiving than federal law. So we're very lucky to live here where we accept these sorts of animals and this sort of support. So I did want to go ahead and talk about some other things. I wanted to talk a little bit, and I know I don't usually do this, but I did want to talk a little bit as we move into these summer months and into, you know, different stories that we're hearing, that I wanted to talk about actual criminal law and what is animal cruelty, and how to fight claims of animal cruelty or animal abuse. So Penal Code 597 prohibits mistreatment of animals, and that's animal abuse, it's animal neglect, and I'm going to actually give you the list of what it's protecting animals from. And the reason why we have these rules in particular is because animals often can't advocate for themselves. So they tend to be a little bit of a more vulnerable population. And one of the things as a lawyer that I find really interesting, and I've been watching this change myself, I've been in practice for 16 years now, and I've been watching animal law evolve. Animals years and years ago used to be what we call in the law chattels, which means that they are personal property. It's, you know, a cow is like your chair. You know, you can do what you need to do with it. You can butcher it and eat it. You can milk it. You can use it for having more cows. So that applied to animals as well. Cats were out in the barn catching mice. They weren't sitting on your lap and purring and making you feel good. Dogs were there to protect your property, to work your sheep or your cows. You know, they were working animals. They were not as much a part of the family as they are now. And I've done a show before, and maybe more than once, every once in a while I bring it up about how up until fairly recently, I would say up until about somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago, the law started making a change and started realizing that animals are more than just personal property, that they're actually pets, that we have feelings for them, that often they're a part of the family. For some people who can't have children, they treat their pets like children, and they have that kind of a relationship. And the law did not recognize that at all. And for example, in the civil law sector, if you're a neighbor shot your dog with BBs and you had to take him to the vet and get him stitched up or something, or let's say even worse, let's say they shot him and the dog died, all you could get as compensation would be the value of that animal. So say he's a stray that just showed up on your doorstep, which doesn't happen as much as it used to. Back in the 70s, you used to see that often enough, but these days not so much. But so if the dog had no value, you couldn't be compensated for the fact that your neighbor shot your dog. Nowadays, it's turning around. It's being a little different. The laws are starting to understand that pets have emotional value. So I've had the case where ladies walking her adorable Scottish terrier, absolutely cute dog, and a Rottweiler comes and attacks her dog and rips it from stem to stern on its underbelly. And she tries to fight the dog off and falls off the curb and sprains her ankle. And so she's got her injuries. She's got the injuries to the dog, the vet bills, which are the personal property part of it. But also there's the emotional distress of watching her baby, and the dog really was her baby, getting ripped from stem to stern. And I mean, it was like a ridiculous number of staples in that dog's stomach. So we're recognizing that animals have value. So that's on the civil sector. On the criminal sector, more and more we're trying to protect animals. So what Penal Code 597 prohibits is maliciously, intentionally, or cruelly maiming, and maiming means disabling or disfiguring, mutilating, torturing, or wounding a living animal, or maliciously, intentionally, or cruelly killing an animal, depriving an animal of food, drink, or shelter, or riding, driving, overworking, or otherwise using the animal when it is unfit for labor. So what we're seeing a lot is laws aimed at trying to protect dogs from being stuck in terrible weather. There are specific laws about you can't leave your dog in the car unless it's provided for, meaning that, you know, it's got to have proper ventilation, water, if it's, you know, there for a while, maybe some food. So you have to actually protect your animal and take care of them. Now, what you see happening sometimes, and that's really difficult, is it's a rare thing that law enforcement is going to actually see this behavior. So it's usually going to be a neighbor or, you know, a family friend or somebody that sees that this sort of thing is happening to an animal, and they'll report it to law enforcement. So the problem for law enforcement is whether there's a real claim or whether this is just somebody's opinion that there's some bad behavior going on and there really isn't. So some of the things that we're seeing that, I mean, I haven't seen this, but I know it happens. Cockfighting is illegal. You can't have two roosters with, and what they do is they put metal spurs around the rooster's legs, and they're trained to, well, roosters are pretty aggressive anyway, but they're trained to use these, with, I think they call them gaffs, and they are trained to, you know, puncture each other with these metal spikes that are connected to their legs. So that is illegal. People will organize these and bet on them and see who's going to win, and how they win is by killing the other rooster. So it's pretty aggressive, and I don't know, sounds kind of gross to me, but apparently it's kind of, enjoyed by some people. Dog fighting, of course, is also illegal. You're not allowed to own or possess or keep or train any dog with the intent that it participate in dog fighting. That is illegal. And you can't, you know, make your dog injure another dog for amusement or financial gain. And it's actually illegal to attend a dog fight. You can't be a spectator at a dog fight either. So if you're a spectator, you can be subject up to a $5,000 fine. So, and any other, if you're engaging in any of these other behaviors with dog fighting, that's punishable by up to 16 months or 2 to 3 years in California state prison. So it's pretty serious stuff. They don't want to be seeing dog fighting. And I haven't heard of any really here in California, and I hope I don't. Now, leaving your animal in an unattended vehicle, you can't endanger the health or well-being of the pet. So those are some of the things you have to have, and this goes for hot or cold weather. You have to have, like I said, ventilation, food or water, and you just have to be aware that you can't engage in behavior that is potentially going to cause suffering, disability, or death. So these are all actually criminal laws, punishable by fine or imprisonment. So be aware of your dogs and take real good care of them. And then on the other side, how do you fight these charges if you get stuck with them? Then there are ways to combat these. If it's your self-defense, a dog's going to attack you, that is one. Or if it's an accident, or if the judge doesn't handle it properly, those are different ways that you can fight these charges. So today we've been talking about animal law and how to be aware of what's going on with animals, and hopefully we'll all be more and more aware of the service dogs and the psychiatric dogs that are there to calm their owners. And if you have any questions about this topic or other topics, you can call us down at the law office at 707-544-9006, 707-544-9006, or you can look up our website, kcehlaw.com, and you can give us a call or email us, and we'll be happy to answer your questions.